Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, open our ears that we may hear your word for us today. Open our minds so that we can ponder their significance in our lives. Open our eyes so that we may see the wonder and beauty of your creation all around us. But Father, most of all, open our hearts, dwell in them, and set them on fire so that we may live according to your word. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as I said in the announcements, we begin during the season of Easter looking at the church, and specifically looking at how the apostles and the disciples were transformed by the resurrection of Jesus, and by his presence with them for 40 days beyond Easter, and all of the things that he taught, as John pointed out in his gospel here, toward the end of his gospel here, in pointing out that you just heard, that not all the things that they experienced and heard from him during those 40 days are written in the gospel, or written in the Gospels in general, or in the epistles. Many, many more things were taught during that time of the 40 days. And by what was taught by the resurrected Jesus, that actually laid the groundwork for the church. And I believe that ultimately the spread of the Word of God into, well, Israel, Judea, and throughout the known Roman world at the time, actually comes because of the transformation of the lives of those who followed and heard the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It is their witness as the church that makes all the difference in the world. And we're going to hear that over the next few Sundays as we journey with the risen Lord Jesus and hear at least the teachings that we have still remaining from those 40 days in the Gospels during the season of Easter. The first opportunity we have of that is taken here from Acts chapter 4 of the apostles and the disciples gathered on the evening of that day, the first day of the week. If you ever wondered why we are not like the Seventh-day Adventists and have worship on the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day, or the day that God rests, the one that Jews still celebrate from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, here is the reason. Right here. They came together on the first day of the week. Now, many of you who are working slaves, you think the first day of the week is Monday. It's not. First day of the week in the Hebrew week is Sunday. That's the first day of the week. And so here, on this, the first day of the week in the book of Acts, as the disciples and apostles were gathered together, being locked in a home for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. The risen Lord Jesus. Now, not the first time that any of the disciples or apostles had seen the risen Lord Jesus, but definitely this is the first time that Jesus is witnessed by all of the apostles, except one, of course, we know, is not accounted for in the gospel, and that being Thomas. But it's a group of them, apostles and disciples together. And it occurs on the first day of the week, which is why the church has continued to celebrate our worship together on the first day of the week, on Sunday mornings. Because our worship together and gathering together is a gathering in celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. That's what we celebrate each and every Sunday, the risen Lord Jesus. And here is a good account of why we do that, and why the church has continued that down through all the centuries, because it is on the first day of the week that Jesus comes and stands among them as the risen Lord, stands among them physically, not spiritually, not as a fuzzy spirit, nor as a ghost, as some may have thought, but as a physical human being, someone they could embrace, someone they could touch and feel and hear. He was as real to them at that moment as they were real to one another, physically raised from the dead. And this transforms and begins to create the basis for the church. It is around the risen Lord Jesus, his physical resurrection, that the church is built, and it begins at this point. So much so that the physical presence is actually what's emphasized in this gospel, in John's gospel here, on that witness, which is why we have Thomas hearing of the apostles and disciples when he wasn't there, hearing that they had seen Jesus and that they had touched Jesus and probably embraced him and shared a kiss of peace with one another, which again becomes a tradition in the church, and we recognize that when we share the peace before communion. They probably did these things with the risen Lord Jesus. And Thomas emphasizing the physical resurrection of Jesus says, I won't believe until I myself place my finger into the marks of the nails and my hand in his side. I myself, I will not believe until I can actually physically do these things. And of course, we know that as the gospel continues, the next appearance, Matthew is there. And he is able to do exactly that. Place his hands in the marks of the nails, be able to put his hand in the side, and embrace and perhaps give Jesus that kiss of peace as well. And he is utterly transformed. He proclaims Jesus as the Christ, but not only the Christ, but also the Son of God. This is the significance, again, of the physical resurrection. The Christ came to redeem. The Christ redeemed on the cross. But the risen physical Jesus, the Lord, is the Son of God. And it is recognized by the apostles and disciples that he is the Son of God because of his physical resurrection. And it's this meeting and the meetings that continue afterward we hear in the other Gospels, and you'll hear over the next few Sundays as well, that as the risen physical Jesus is with the apostles and the disciples and continues to teach them and lead them, the church becomes established. It's established on the physical resurrection of Jesus, which began on that first day of the week, according to John's Gospel, and which we continue down through the centuries as we do today. The first day of the week, we celebrate the risen, physical Lord Jesus. And it is that which transforms the apostles and disciples. It is that risen, physical Jesus that becomes the groundwork of the entire church. And we hear the result of some of that, and you'll hear it again in the first lesson coming in the coming Sundays. We hear the result of that transformation this morning in Acts chapter 4, that first reading. As the church again gathers on the first day of the week, and they assemble together. Now, we only have here what happens as they assemble together, that the full number of these who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one said that any one of the things that they had belonged and was his own, but they had everything in common. So they came together, and they were one heart and one soul. This is the amazing transformation, and although we'll celebrate Pentecost as the beginning of the church with the cup of the Holy Spirit, but here we can actually see the groundwork of it. They were of one soul together. That is what the church was. And they brought all things together. They shared everything they had so that none was in want at all. Now today, a lot of social justice churches use this particular scripture to say that that's the beginning and the reason for the church. The church then goes out, should go out and proclaim social justice, equality among people, equal outcomes, as we've come to know them today. But that's not what this scripture is teaching at all. Not at all. This is not a socialist gospel story. This is a transformational story that shows the church in its grounding, in its beginning, and hopefully the church that is transformed today even. It is that they loved one another, were of one mind together in the gospel, and were of one soul, and cared for one another so deeply that they held all things in common. It's an extension of what they had experienced with the risen, resurrected Jesus, the physical Jesus. This is what transformed who they were. And it was this unity and this sharing, this loving sharing of all things among the apostles and disciples that actually made the world around them start to take notice, start to go, this is an unusual community. They share in everything. They celebrate one another. They care deeply for one another. And more are added to the number who were saved. It's because of this experience with the risen, physical Lord Jesus Christ that transformed the lives of the apostles and the disciples and becomes the formation of the church that is the spreading of the gospel and the good news. Because people outside start to ask, why? Why? It's so different out here. We have to fight for what we have. We have to struggle for everything. We have to engage one another and often fight one another for our basic needs. Yet here, they care. They love. They are so transformed that they share everything. What is this? It's so different from the outside world. This is not the beginning of a social gospel. This is the beginning of a transformed people, the church, and what it would look like. Now, the church that we have today, I'd like to think, is an extension of the church from its beginning in Acts, and that the true church has continued in a very similar manner down through the centuries, even to today. And in fact, I have had enough experiences here among you to know that this is what this church is today. Because I know that there is a caring among you. I have seen when there is a need for one here with us, there are many stand up and help. I have seen it in action. I know that it happens here in this congregation. We are similar to that early church. And the only thing that can explain it isn't any kind of human logic or philosophy or any political system like Marxism or anything like that. Nothing can explain why that happens when one of us is in need here, the others gather around, uplift, and support. No human philosophy or politics can explain that at all. The only thing that explains it is our faith and belief in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that extra strengthening, the one that Jesus actually extends beyond Thomas's doubting when he says, "You believe because you have seen and touched and felt. Blessed are those who have not felt, touched, and yet believe." Even more power resides there. This is that power that we have. This is what we have come together this morning to celebrate, and this is who we are. We care for one another. We love one another. We lift one another up. We share when we can with ones who have need wherever we can. And we proclaim the risen Lord Jesus Christ. This is who we are. And hopefully, this is what we will be passing down to the church that follows us. This is what it is to proclaim the risen Lord Jesus in life and in love. I hope and pray that we can continue this as a congregation together, and that by sharing, by caring and loving one another, uplifting one another, being the church that we hear of here in Acts chapter 4, that this gospel will spread into the world, and more will be added to that number. And so may the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds on the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.